Okay, good morning. We are doing Tainis Daf Chaf Zayin. This week's shiur, as it is every week, is dedicated by Gary and Toby Greenstein, memory of their son Yomi Yosef Menachem Ben Gershon, who grew up here at the YAPC. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas Shimon Ben Zaev, and Fega Bas Chaim. Okay. We're doing Daf Chaf Zayin in Maseches Tainis, and we're going to start on the fourth line of Daf Chaf Zayin, where we left off. Where we quote from the Mishnah, Eilehin Ma'amados, Lefishin Emar Tzavis B'nei Yisrael. So the Mishnah is going to, or the Mishnah did, describe for us this institution of Ma'amados, the fact that whenever B'nei Yisrael brought Karbanos, there were always, which was consistently throughout the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were always designated Kohanim and Levim and even Yisraelim who would be the people who would represent the rest of the Tzibor, the rest of Klal Yisrael, in kind of being at hand and helping out with the Avodah or watching the Avodah, just being nearby as representative of the broader Klal Yisrael. So the Mishnah introduced that by saying, Elohim Ma'amados, these are the Ma'amados, these are the watches. Lefisha Ne'amar Tzavis B'nei Yisrael, and it went jumped right into the Pasuk. The Gemara says, Ma'ika Amar. The syntax of this, the flow of this doesn't really work so well. It says, Elohim Ma'amados, because it says in the Pasuk, Tzavis B'nei Yisrael, without kind of introducing why you need a Pasuk for this. So the Gemara now fleshes it out and says, Hachik Amar. This is what it meant to say. Elohim Ma'amados, these are the watches. Matam tiknu ma'amados. And why was there such an institution altogether? Why did they institute ma'amados? Lefishin emar, because the pasuk says savis bnei Yisrael v'yomar talehem es karboni lachmi u'ishai. Because the pasuk, in discussing the karbanos, introduces it by saying that this should be a command for all of bnei Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael are commanded. V'heach karbanu shel adam karev v'u'eino omeid al gabav. Normally, when it comes to a karban yachid, a karban brought by an individual, the guy, the person whose karban it is standing right there. He might do smicha, he might be actively involved in the karban, but he's definitely right there. And here we have karbanos tzibur, karbanos that are brought for all of Bnei Yisrael. So how does that work exactly? Jews are scattered all over Yerushalayim, all over Eretz Yisrael, all over the world. How can the karbanos be brought on behalf of the Jewish people? And so therefore, itkinu neviim harishonim, the original neviim, made a takana, that they instituted esrim varba mishmaros, al kol mishmar, esrim varba mishmaros. They instituted 24 cadres, 24 groups of Jews, al kol mishmar mishmar, Hayamayim and Birushalayim shel Kohanim shel Levim shel Yisraelim. And for each watch, for each rotation, they would have in Yerushalayim a group of Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim dedicated to that particular week's karbanos. Yizgia zman mishmar lalos, and when it came time for a new mishmar to come, Kohanim and Levim only Yerushalayim. So the Kohanim and Levim went up to Yerushalayim, and the Mishnah had said that the Yisraelim stayed in their respective cities. Fine. So that's why we need a pasuk. That's the context that the Mishnah is mentioning this pasuk in. Tan Rabbanan, we have a verse that says, Esrim ve'arba mishmaros hayu be'eretz Yisrael. V'shteim esrei biricho. There were 24 mishmaros in Eretz Yisrael, and there were 12 mishmaros in Yericho. So Gemara immediately asks, Shteim esrei biricho. There were, as if to say, an additional 12 mishmaros groups in Yericho, Nefishin Lutuva. There were so many, meaning there were 36 total mishmaros. It doesn't sound right. We always thought there were 24 mishmaros. So the Gemara clarifies and says, no. What it means to say, what the Brother Reis means to say, is that there were 24 altogether. 12 of them were in Yericho. Higia zman mishmar lalos, and when it came time for that mishmar to go up, Chatzia mishmar haya ola me'eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. One half of the mishmar would go from Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim. Chatzia mishmar haya ola mi'yericho, and half the mishmar would come and originate from Yericho, which apparently was the place from which they brought goods and food and stuff to sustain the Beis HaMikdash, Kadesh Yisbeku Mayim Umazon Lachayim Shab Yerushalayim, so that they could bring with them the goods to their brothers in Yerushalayim to help them out with the avodah. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kohanim Uvim v'Yisraelim Ma'akvin es HaKarban. So he says this concept of Mishmaros is important. It's so important that it's actually Ma'akev. You can't bring Karbanos until you have your Kohanim, your Levim, and Yisraelim, the Mishmaros in their entirety in Yerushalayim as they're supposed to be. So you actually have, you need that. But Mesnisa Tana Rishuman Elazar Omer, Kohanim Uvim Bekle Shir Ma'akvin es HaKarban. So he has a little bit of a different variation. He says that Kohanim and Levim of the Mishmaros, they're Ma'akev the Karban, they need to be there. And he adds in Vekle Shir, and the instruments, the musical instruments, are Ma'akev the Karban. You need the musical instruments in order to do the Avoda. It's Ma'akev. But Ma'akev Mefugi, what do these two variations really depart based on? Mar Savar Ikar Shira Bepeh, Mar Savar Ikar Shira Bekle. The first gear, so the first variation of this, didn't mention the Kli Shir as Ma'akev, as being intrinsic and instrumental, no pun intended, in the Karbanos. Whereas the second variation, Rav Shimon Elazar's version, mentioned the Kli Shir as being required. So that second variation says that the Kli Shir were actually fundamental to the Avoda and were actually required. This sounds like there's not much of machlokas here, because even according to the one who said the Klei Shir were not ma'akev, they held that the Klei Shir were used. I mean, it's not like there's a fundamental machlokas here about whether they were Klei Shir altogether. Tosos points out that the view, the last Tosos on the Amud here, the opinion that says that Klei Shir are intrinsic and fundamental holds. He says, "Lokacha kol mar savar ikar shir bepeh." Did I read that? I skipped the line. I think it's Mike and Mulkafungi. Mar savar ikar shir bepeh. Mar savar ikar shir bekli. Right, the one who didn't mention the klei shir, that the instruments, they said that the ikar shira, that the main song that was sung by the Levim, the ikar was bepeh, was actually their singing voices. Whereas the other one stressed the instruments. So Tosa says the opinion that says that Ikar Klishir Bepeh, Rika Shira Bepeh, that the most important part was the singing, not the instruments, he says, so therefore anyone was kosher to sing as part of the Avoda, Lomar Shira, Duhavi El Bepeh, because it's just Bepeh, which kind of downgrades the importance of the whole operation. However, Uman Diamar Ikar Shira Bekli, if you hold that the instruments were Ikar, so then Im came Sarshu Kohanim Olavim to Akle Zemer Haya Kadosh. Once you already introduce a physical object as part of the Avoda, that physical object has a special level of Kedusha. And so therefore, if you say that the Kle Shir were fundamental, then the Shira was kind of raised up, ratcheted up to a higher level, and then Psuim can't participate in it. Whereas if you say that it's just the singing voices, so then that downgrades that whole operation, and then even Psuim can participate in the Shira.
Is there anybody who argues on that? I don't know if that makes 100%. I don't know if that's what I would think.
Right, it's kind of counterintuitive. It's a little counterintuitive, because you think if the Ikar is the Peh, you think then you'd focus on the people. But this is at least, I don't know if people argue, I'm not sure. Okay. Amar of Chama Bar Guria. There's another girsa that says it's Amar of Chista Bar Guria. But either way, Amar of Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav, Moshe Tiken Yisrael Shmona Mishmaros. So the original institution of these Mishmaros, of these Ma'amadas Mishmaros, came from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he started with just 8 groups. Arba me'Elazar, V'dalad me'Itamar. 4 from Elazar and 4 from Itamar. Both were from Levi. And 4 from each of these families. Ba Shmuel, you know, the Navi Shmuel, Ba Shmuel v'hemidon al sheish esrei. So he increased it to 16 groups. Started with Moshe Rabbeinu with 8. Shmuel brings it up to 16. Ba David v'hemidon al esrim v'arba. David came along and he increased it to our current count to 24. Shenemar, and it quotes a pasuk from Divrei Yamim, Vishnasa Arbaim Mumalchus David Nidrashu Vayimsu Bem Gimorichayel Biyazir Agila. This quote from the pasuk doesn't really capture the idea, but the idea is that the previous psukim mentioned all the 24 ma'amados, and therefore this pasuk sums it up, and it makes it clear that this happened during the time of David. And I think specifically the fact that it was the 40th year of Malchus David means that it was after the time of Shmuel. So this brings home or drives home the idea that it was David that raised it up to 24. Meisvei, now we have a brisa that contradicts this. Moshe tikeng on Yisrael shmona mishmaros. Moshe started with 8, as we said. Arba mi Elazar v'arba mi Itamar. As we said, 4 from Elazar, 4 from the family of Itamar. But David u'Shmuel, and then David and Shmuel together then came, v'emidan alesrim v'arba. David and Shmuel together raised it to 24. Shnemar hima yasa David u'Shmuel aro be'emunasam. A similar pasuk that says, that seems to sound as if David and Shmuel participated together to bring it up to 24. So Gemara clarifies and tries to reconcile these two braises. Hachi kamer, this is what it means to say. Miyisodo shel, here's the girsa, is a little different than Rashi's girsa. Rashi's girsa reads a little better. He says, miyisodo shel Shmuel haramati shemidon al yodvav ba David v'emidon al kaftalad. So he says that this pasuk, which or the second brisa, which makes it sound as if David and Shmuel did it together, we're now clarifying as to reconcile with the earlier brisa to say that no, David brought it up to 16, and then Shmuel built on that, built on the work of David, and raised it to 24. Fine. Tanya Idach, we have another brisa that says Moshe tikeng l'Eli Yisrael sheisha srei mishmaros, that originally Moshe had not 8, but Moshe started with 16 mishmaros. Shmona mi Elazar, v'shmona mi Itamar. 8 from the family of Elazar, 8 from the family of Itamar. U'kisherabu b'nei Elazar al b'nei Itamar, chalkum ve'emidum alestrim v'arba. And when the b'nei Elazar started growing faster than the family of Itamar, so he then changed it up a little and added mishmaros, added another set of 8 mishmaros, that he added only to the family of Elazar. So Itamar stayed at 8. Elazar now had 16 for a total of 24. Shneimar vayimsu bnei Elazar rabim l'rashei agiborim min bnei Itamar. Pasuk says, again in Divrei Yomim, that there were more people from bnei Elazar, from the family of Elazar, than from the family of Itamar. Vayichalkum l'vnei Elazar rashim l'vei savos shishasar. And that resulted in there being 16 watches from the family of Elazar, uvnei Itamar, uvnei Savosam, Shimon, and only 8 from the family of Itamar. And we have further textual proof of this, v'yomer, and then another pasuk says, beis av echad achuz l'Elazar, v'achuz achuz l'Itamar, which basically means there was one clan, or one cohort, more for Elazar than there was for Itamar. For each set of 8 from Itamar, there was a set of, there were 2 sets of 8 from Elazar, for a total of, like we said, 24. So the Gemara then says, Maiva Omer, why do we need a second pasuk? Wasn't the first pasuk good enough to teach you this? Why are we bringing a second pasuk? And the Gemara clarifies, V'chitema, you might think, Kihechi de Nefishi b'nei Elazar, Hacha Nami Nefishi b'nei Itamar. You might have thought that the 8 attributed to Tamar in the pasuk are also an increase from 4, meaning you might have thought that the original was consistent with Rav Chama Bar Guria, who said that Moshe Rabbeinu started with 8 and then went up from there to 16 to 24. So you might have thought that here too, the 8 that we say are belong to Itamar at the end of this, the first pasuk, right? Levesa Vosam Shmona, they maybe are an increase from 4. So therefore, the second pasuk comes and clarifies that no, in fact, Itamar's count stayed below, stayed at 8 from the original 8, and it was only Elazar who kind of doubled up. That's what the second pasuk clarifies, right? That for Itamar's 8, there were 16 from Elazar. Right, Hachanami Nefishi Bnei Itamar Shmona Meikara Arba Havu. You might have thought the original was 4. Tashma Beis Ave Chad Achuz Elazar Achuz Achuz L'Itamar, to teach you that that's not the case, and in fact, Elazar Itamar itself started at 8. So the Gemara says to Yufta, the Rav Chama Bar Gurya. This seems to be a refutation of Rav Chama Bar Gurya's position, which was that Moshe originally started with a total of 8, 4 from Elazar, 4 from Itamar. Now we seem to have a brisa that says very clearly, based on two psukim, that the original count for Itamar was 8 and the original count for Elazar was 8 for a total of 16, against the position of Rav Chama Bar Gurya and consistent with the second brisa that we said. So Amar Achar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, so we'll respond and say, no, Rav Chama Bar Gurya Tanoihi. That is a, it's a machokes tanoim. Rav Chama Bar Gurya is his own opinion. V'anoda amri ki aitana damar shmona. And this second set of brisos, which quoted those two later two psukim in Divrei Yomim, they reflect the opinion that each side or each family had 8 in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and not 4. So basically, it's a machlokas tanaim as to how many we started with, whether it was 4 or 8. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Moving on from that, Tana Rabbanan, arba mishmaros olu min hagola. So even though we got the count all the way up to 24 by the time of David HaMelech, when it came time for in Bayis Sheni, when Klal Yisrael had been now mostly in Bavel, right? And now comes along Bayis Sheni, and they build Bayis Sheni, and the Jews are told they can come back. So we know that one of the great tragedies of Jewish history was that a lot of the Jews stayed in Bavel and didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael. So not only were your average Jews not coming back, but even the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Mishmaros didn't come back. And so therefore, of the 24, only 4 families, only 4 Mishmaros, went from Bavel at the time of Bayis Sheni back to Eretz Yisrael. Tanur Rabbanan, arba mishmaros alu min hagola. There were 4 families, 4 mishmaros that went back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'iluhin, and these were the families, Yedaya, Charim, Pashchor, Ve'emar. Those were the 4 families that went back to Eretz Yisrael. Amdu neviim shebeneihem v'chalkum. So now they had a practical problem. The schedule called for 24 mishmaros. And now they are only 4 families. And so they figured, okay, let's split up these 4 families into 24 mishmaros, into 24 segments. Right? So, Amdu neviim shebeneihem, the neviim got up, v'chalkum, and they split it up. V'amidum ala srim v'arba. They made them into 24 segments. Bogulum v'nosnum b'kalfi. So, and the way they did this was an unusual way. Instead of just splitting the families into 24, they wrote up names of various segments of these families on pieces of paper. They put them in a pot, and they did a goral. Ba'yadaya, and so Yadaya, the head of that family of Yadaya, came. V'noto chelko v'chelok chaverov. Sheish. So he took his chelek, and then miraculously, as Rashi explains here, and I think the parallel sugi and Erichin Rashi explains also, that he picked out the 6 names that included his own name and the other 5 leaders from within his family, right? And the idea here was that they needed to determine the order of the mishmaros. So even though all 24 factions were now in one pot, which meant that there was 6 from Yedaya, and 6 from Charim, and 6 from Paschor, and 6 from Emor, 6 from each of the families. Somehow, miraculously, Yedaya pulled out 6, and they happened to be the 6 from his own family, because those were supposed to be kept together. But now we knew the order from within that family of how those Mishmaros should split up their weeks. So that's it. V'nato chalko, he picked out his own chalak, he picked out his own piece of paper. The Chelek Chaverov and the 5 other leaders from his family, with total of 6. And similarly, Barcharim v'nato chelko v'chelek chaverov 6. He picked out his 6. V'chein Pashkur v'chein Emor v'chein Hisnu neviim. So that was how they determined the order of these 24 subfamilies. V'chein Hisnu neviim shebineihem. And not only that, but the neviim proclaimed at that point Shafilu Yehoyarov Rosh Mishmaros, Ola, that even if Yehoyarev, who was one of the families that didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael, but he was the head of the Mishmaros, and so even if he were to later come back, he would get second fiddle. Lo Yidcha Yedaya Mimkomo. Yedaya and his five other families would still take the first places, El Yedaya Iker V'Yoyadav Tafelo, and they would just stick in Yoyadav after that. Meaning, even though he was the Rosh Mishmaros, and you'd expect him maybe to cut the line, and if he later came to Eretz Yisrael, he would go first. We gave special primacy to these four families that made the trek and came to Eretz Yisrael ahead of the others. Okay, the Mishnah then continues.
So the others did not even go down from Chutzpah,
from Bavel, yeah.
They just didn't come anymore.
They didn't come.
Were people still doing all the regal then?
I think they were, but I guess the Kohanim were sojourners. They weren't. I guess the idea was that to be part of the 24 Mishmaros, you had to be on hand all the time and be ready to go. That's not to say that they would never visit, I guess, right?
Because they were their own mishmar, like come in. Okay, this is our week to travel into Eretz Yisrael.
I guess they
didn't even come at all.
Yeah, it sounds like they didn't want to give them that kavod because they didn't go. They didn't go out of their way to come to Eretz Yisrael.
So it's like, were they excluded or they just didn't want to come? I guess that's.
Well, they had the opportunity to come when everyone came to Eretz Yisrael, and because they didn't take up that opportunity,
they didn't come. On their own for 2 weeks.
Oh, for their own 2 weeks.
You have to live in Eretz Yisrael.
It sounds like you have to live in Eretz Yisrael to get the privilege of being part of that. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Okay. The Mishnah continued and said that at the time that the Kohanim Alevim accompany the Avoda, the Yisraelim that are part of each of these Ma'amados would also participate, but not in person in Yerushalayim. They would just go to their cities and do some kind of ritual. Specifically, that the Mishnah had said, Karn b'maisa Bereishis. They would read the Torah. They would read from Parshas Bereishis in the Torah. So the Gemara says, Minani miwi. How do we know this? Amrav Yaakov bar Acha, Amrav Asi, So he answers the question of how do we know this by kind of explaining why this makes a lot of sense, that thematically, Maisa Bereishis, reading of the Torah, the Psukim of Bereishis, are thematically very connected to the Avoda, which is to say that if not for these Mamados, if not for the fact that these people would accompany the Avoda, would be assigned to read the Torah at the time of the Avoda, the whole earth, when the whole enterprise would fall apart. The whole earth and the sky and the earth would fall apart. How Avram's saying to Hashem, how am I going to know that how do I know that I will inherit this land? You made this promise to me. He says, give me a sign. Tell me, give me some sort of bris. How do I know I'm going to inherit the land? Amar Avram. So Avram Avinu said to Ribono Shalom, Shema Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha. How do I know that this whole thing is going to last? What happens if my descendants, Klal Yisrael, one day sin in front of you? Ata Oso Em Kedor HaMabul Kedor HaFlaga. Are you going to do to them like what you did to the Kedor HaMabul and Kedor HaFlaga? We know that you lash out at people and punish people who don't act properly. So how do I know that my descendants are going to inherit this land and keep it? Maybe they're going to sin and they're going to get thrown out. All sorts of bad things are going to happen. So Amrulay, Hashem said, Amrulay, Lav Amrulafanav.
Lav. Amrulay, Lav.
I'm sorry, Amrulay, Lav. He said, no, that's not a problem. Amrulafanav. So he said, Ribono Shalom, Hodieni Bama Yerushena. So he says, demonstrate it for me. Teach it to me. How am I going to give me some kind of guarantee? So Amrulay, and this is when he introduced him the Bris Ben Yisarim. Kecheli, Ego Mishulashas, Ve'ez Mishulashas, etc. He said, take all these animals, split them in half, and do the whole thing where you walk in between. That was how Hashem demonstrated to Avram his commitment. So Amar Lefanov, Ribono Shalom. So Avram said to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Tenach Bizman Shemes Mingdash Kayim. That's good, and I understand that that Bris is going to last when the Beis Mingdash is around. Bizman Shemes Mingdash Kayim, Matei Haleim. What's going to happen to the Jewish people when there's no Beis HaMikdash? Amar lo, kvar takanti lohem seder karbanos. I already wrote up in the Torah the seder karbanos. It explains how the karbanos should be brought. Bizman shekorim bahem wafanai, mala ani alehem kilu hikrivum wafanai. And so when Klal Yisrael doesn't have the Beis HaMikdash, if they just read the seder karbanos, they read the parshios of the karbanos, it's as if they brought those karbanos to me. And as a result, I'm going to be mocho on all their avonos. It'll be as if they actually brought the karbanos to me.
Amazing.
So that's the idea. That's the thematic connection between these mishmaros, or these mamados, rather, and the avoda. And that's why they would read from Maisa Bracious, because the idea was that if not for them, the whole earth would collapse. Okay. Tanarabban, we have a brace that says, Anshe Mishmar Hayu Mispaulim Al Korban Acheim. I think they changed the girsa to Anshe Maimed. Rashi explains, the Mishmar refers to the parts that were in Yerushalayim, the Kohanim and the Levim, and the Mamados refer to the Yisraelim that were outside of Yerushalayim, that were in their own cities, in their respective cities. So Anshe Maimed, I think they changed it to, Hayu Mispaulim Al Korban Acheim Shiska Bel Baratzon. No, I'm sorry, we keep the gear. So the Anshei Mishmar, the people who are in Yerushalayim, so they would daven that the Karbanos should go okay. And corresponding to them, the Anshei Maimed, the people outside of Yerushalayim, outside of Eretz Yisrael, would go into their Batei Knesios, and they would sit four fasts during the week that they were assigned for their Maimed. Which days of the week would they fast? B'sheni b'Shabbos, on Monday. B'shlishi on Tuesday, Berviya on Wednesday, Uvechamishi on Thursday. So they would fast during those weekdays. B'sheni, their fast on Monday would be as a tefillah for B'sheni al Yordei Hayam, as a tefillah for sailors, people who were at sea, who needed extra tefillos, that Hashem should protect them. So that's what their fast was, to ask for divine protection for the sailors. B'shlishi ahochei midbaros, and the fast on Tuesday was for special divine protection for the people who were in far out locations in midbaros, in deserts. B'revi al aschara shol tipo al tinokos. The Wednesday fast was a tefillah for tinokos, that they shouldn't get sick, they shouldn't get a certain disease, babies. B'chamishi, and their fast on Thursday, Ubros Umenikos, was for nursing and pregnant women. Ubros Shoyapilu, pregnant women, said they shouldn't miscarry. Menikos Sheanikos Beneim, and nursing mothers, that they should successfully nurse their kids. Uberev Shabbos, Lo Yumisanim, Vnei Kavod HaShabbos, Kavachomer B'Shabbos Asma. And on Friday, they wouldn't fast because of Kavod Shabbos. It's not appropriate to fast on Friday. And Kav Chomer on Shabbos itself, they wouldn't fast on Shabbos all the more so. So Rashi explains why these themes related specifically to these days of the week. Why on Monday were they fasting for the sailors, on Tuesday for people at Ochei Midbaros, etc. And Rashi says it pertains to the things that were created, the creations on each of those days, right? On Monday, the seas were created, right? And on Tuesday, the Yabasha was created, was split from the sea, right? And so therefore, that's for the people who are walking on land. Rashi says that Wednesday was Aschara, which is kind of a play on words, he says. Rashi says, Shabo Nitlam Ba'uros, the illuminations, right? The sun and the moon and the stars were put in the sky on Wednesday, and Ma'oros, which refers to luminaries, is kind of a play on the words of Ma'oros, like bad things, like sicknesses. The same kind of word, the same word, Ma'oros and Ma'oros. So that's why that was the fast day on Wednesday. And then on Thursday was for pregnant women, because on that day the Pasuk says, Yishrusu amayim sheretz nefesh chaya, chaya meaning a pregnant woman. Another kind of play on words, and that's why they would fast on those specific days. The Maharsha points out that these four fast days correspond to the four reasons why you'd say Birkas Hagomel, right? Over a Yordei Hayam, people who are at sea, people take a sea voyage, you say Birkas Hagomel, or bring a Karban Todah, right? People who go through a desert, people who are sick. And then the fourth one was what? Chamishi al ubros uminigos, people who are nursing or people who are pregnant. So the fourth reason you'd say Birkas Hagomel was for getting out of jail. So the Marsha says that a baby in the mother's womb is like someone in jail. And that's why that corresponds to the
well,
fourth
reason. But we say gomel after a baby also, right?
You do say gomel after a baby. That's more for a sickness.
No, when the mother, after she gives birth, she says...
She comes to this role and says gomel.
She's recovering from...
She's recovering, but that falls under the category of sickness. We don't usually think of that under the category of getting out of jail. Well, that's a new shot.
Of course, the baby would have to say it.
The baby should say it, really. The mother's saying it for the baby who just got out of jail.
Maybe he just sits back and be lazy. All the comforts at home.
Right. Okay, good. So we covered all the days of the week except for Sunday. Why not Sunday? Why don't we fast on Sunday? Gemara says, "Be'achav b'Shabbos my time alo." Why didn't they fast on Sunday? Rav Yochanan mipnei hanotzrim. Interestingly, Rav Yochanan says it's because of the Christians, because the Christians, their holy day is Sunday, and we didn't want to fast to look as if we are commemorating and participating in their holy day.
They move Sabbath to Sunday because of the Jews.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So we didn't want to follow their lead. Rabbeinu Gershom, if you look on the bottom, Rabbeinu Gershom, if you have the same way out as mine, the very last line of Rabbeinu Gershom, he says that it wasn't that we don't want to commemorate their holiday with them, but rather that if we were to fast on their holiday, it would look as if we're kind of sad about their holiday and they would get angry at us. So it was a self-protection measure. That's Rabbeinu Gershom.
I thought we just learned that
something was
Shabbos. Yeah, in the Mishnah. Yeah, it was in the Mishnah. People would die.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. So that's the next opinion. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar, Mipnei Shu Shlishi Liyatzira, because Sunday is the third day after the creation of man. Man was created on Friday, so Sunday is now the third day. And that's a day when, if you think about Avram Avinu on the third day after his bris milah, that was when the pain was the greatest, the risk was the greatest. And so Yetzirah is kind of a very big deal. And so the third day after Yetzirah is the day where we're most at risk, so to speak. And corresponding to that risk, we don't fast also, because that would kind of metaphysically somehow be harmful to us. So Reish Lakish says, it's because we have a neshama yisera on Shabbos, and that was just ripped away from us on Motzei Shabbos, so now we're a little weak from the aftermath of having our neshama yisera taken away, and therefore we don't want to fast on that day, on Sunday. That the neshama yisera that was given to Adam Arishon, or the people, on Erev Shabbos, on the Saturday night, is taken away from them. Shneimar Shavas Vayina Fash. Kevan Shavas Vay of the Nefesh. That again, that taking away this Neshama Yisera is kind of a Vay Nefesh. It's a hardship on our souls, and therefore we don't want to impose a fast on that day. Okay. So we said that these mamados would read from the Torah from Parshas Bereishis. So Bayom Harishon Bereishis Vayhirakia. So they would read the first two parshios, meaning the first set of psukim, the first few psukim of the Torah, and then the pasuk of Vayhirakia, right? Yom Hasheni, right? So the first 2 days, basically. So Gemara says Tana Bereishis Bishnayim, that the first set of psukim would be read with two aliyos, Kohen and Levi, would read that first set, Yehirakia be'echad, and the second set of Yehirakia would be read with one ola. So Bishlama Yehirakia be'echad tosa psukei havu. It makes sense, and we understand how that would work on that second parsha, Yehirakia. It consists of three psukim, and so an ola can be called up to the Torah to read an aliyah of three psukim. That works. Elaboratious Bishnayim, how can we read that first section, that first parsha, with two aliyahs? Hey psukim havyan, there are five psukim in there. And how do you split five psukim into two aliyahs? You need at least three aliyahs per aliyah, three psukim per aliyah. Revitanya, Kori b'Torah al yifchos migimel psukim. Someone who gets called up to the Torah should not read less than three psukim. So how are they going to split up five psukim into three and three? So here we have Machlokes. Rav says, Rav Amar Doeg. Rav says, here's how you do it. You do what we do for the parsha of Rosh Chodesh. You just repeat one of the psukim. Go back a pasuk and double use a pasuk for read the first three psukim. And then the second aliyah, go back a pasuk and read what else that will become the last three psukim.
That's like what we say on Rosh Chodesh.
That's exactly what we do on Rosh Chodesh. Shmuel Amar Posek. Shmuel has a more radical idea based on our practice. We've never seen this. He says, no problem, just split a pasuk in half. Read two psukim and a half.
In the middle of it.
And then the next one will get the last half of that pasuk and then the last two. So, V'Rav Amar Doeg. So Rav, who said Doeg, my time will Amar Posek. Why didn't Rav adopt Shmuel's idea of splitting a pasuk in two? So he answered, with the grand answer is Kasavra Kopsuga de Lopaske Moshe Anango Paskin. So famously we have this principle that any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't split, we shouldn't split. We should respect the integrity of the psukim. The Shmuel Omer Posek, and Shmuel we just said says split a pasuk, umi paskinon. Who said, whoever heard of such a thing? How can you split a pasuk? V'amar Rav Chanina, we know that Rav Chanina karet sar gadol. He said, I got into a big fight. I had a whole long argument with Rav Chanina, and I tried really hard for him to allow me to split psukim when I was teaching and darshaning the psukim. And the only time he would ever let me split psukim was when I was teaching little kids. Because little kids can't digest the whole pasuk, you really need to split it into small pieces. And so therefore, a whole little Islamic asuyan, they needed it to learn it that way. He begrudgingly let me split psukim. But generally speaking, we know you can't split psukim. It's not an appropriate thing to do. So what does Shmuel do with that? Shmuel says you split a pasuk. So Shmuel hasam taima ma'ay mishum du'al afshar. So Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem for me. The reason why Rabbi Chanina was allowed by by Rav Chanina Gadol to split psukim in the context of teaching it to little kids was because there was no other alternative. He had to split it in order to teach them. And so therefore, hachanami lefshar, here too, you're left with five psukim and you have no choice but to split them. So that heter would apply here as well because it's the only alternative. Vishmul Amar Posek. So Shmuel, as we just said, says you split the psukim. My time of Amar Doeg. Why doesn't he just adopt? He said, just said there's no possibility. I have a possibility. Just do the Rav idea, which is to be Doeg, to repeat a pasuk to get that same pasuk to use it in both aliyos. So the Gemara answer is Gezeira Mishum HaNichnasim uGezeira Mishum HaYotzim. The reason Shmuel didn't want to borrow the pasuk and use it twice for two aliyos overlapping is a gzera because he was afraid that people would come to shul late, miss the first aliyah, and they would be there for the second aliyah and see that the second aliyah starts at pasuk 3, and they would conclude from that based that, oh, the first aliyah must have only had two psukim, and then they would result in a bad thing happening that maybe one day they'd be the gabbai and they'd start giving aliyahs to people with two psukim only. And similarly, gzera mishimayotzim, someone might come to shul on time, stay for the first aliyah, which was three psukim, see that there are two psukim left, but leave, because he's rushing off somewhere, and he might think that the next aliyah is going to be only two psukim. They might not realize that there is this overlap. So that's why Shmuel didn't want to do this idea of Rav, of Doeg. Okay.
It's interesting to see that they're actually changing or deciding on what they want to do based on the fact that people are coming. Remember, leaning is more than halfway through the davening, meaning that people are coming so late on a regular basis that we have to change what we want to do because of that. Yeah. Or it's so accepted that people are leaving early.
Yeah.
But not just leaving early. Leaving early after the first aliyah. And they already know that the next aliyah only has five pasukim left, and they figured it out, then that there's going to be a problem. Like,
you're right. It sounds like a far-fetched concern.
The point. There's a kiddush club.
The people who are leaving early are not the ones who are that we're going to expect to have...
Right, to set up the...
Probably not a learned person.
It's a good question. It is. You're right. It does sound like a very far-fetched concern he has. Okay. Meisve. Now we have a challenge to all of this. Parsha Shoshisha Psukim, Korino Sevishnayim. So we have a brisa that tells us in Megillah, talking generally, Rashi points out, Ashar Yimos HaShanakai, that generally speaking, the brisa tells us when you're setting up laning, so if you have a Parsha Shoshisha Psukim, Korino Sevishnayim, if you have a Parsha of six, you could read that in two Aliyos, that's easy, three and three. Vishal Chamisha, and if you have a Parsha of five psukim, post v'shal chamisha psukim, harishon, they changed the gear, so v'shal chamisha psukim, harishon kore gimel, the first aliyah should get three, hasheni koren shnayim miparsha zu, v'echan miparsha acheres. And you should be careful not to give the second ola only two psukim, and so therefore you should read from the next parsha. You should continue on and get at least three psukim. V'yesh omrim gimel. Where's it? V'yesh omrim gimel. V'fish ein matchilim b'parsha pachos mishosh psukim. And then there are others who hold that they shouldn't even start from a parsha that has less than two psukim left, because you shouldn't start with a parsha with less than three psukim left. So you should just read the entire thing from a different parsha altogether. So the Gemara says, I don't understand what's going on. Right? We had this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to how to deal with this situation with the mamados, with reading this parsha's brachos. So this is exactly the same scenario presented by the brisa in Megillah. So why don't you just follow the same ideas? If you're Rav, then you should just do the diug idea of doubling up a pasuk. And if you're Shmuel, just go with his idea of splitting a pasuk in half and fix the problem that way. So the answer is shiny hasam disle ravka. No, that's different. When it comes to during the year, you have the whole Torah to read from. There's plenty of psukim that you could borrow from and get it right. You don't have to do an extreme measure like dilug or posek. But here, when it comes to the mamados, you're limited to these specific psukim because this is what Chazal determined should be read, and therefore here you have to go to extraordinary measures such as double using a pasuk or splitting a pasuk in half. Okay.